You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The International Seabed Authority has granted permission for Canadian corporation The Metals Company to mine the seafloor in the Eastern Pacific, a move which Greenpeace says signals the beginning of a new and destructive extractive industry that will place profit before people and biodiversity, threatening ocean health and people's way of life. To chat about the ISA's decision, as well as what impacts deep sea mining could have on surrounding communities, I spoke to Greenpeace Aotearoa seabed mining campaigner James Hetter. Here's that piece now.
Yeah, so basically they've allowed the metals company through one of their subsidiaries to begin mining in the Pacific Ocean, and they're kind of framing it as a test, but we're really concerned about that. We're concerned that they're letting this happen far too quickly.
I've seen that allowing this deep sea mining has been described as like driving on the wrong side of the road at night and turning off your headlights. What do we know about some of the potential impacts of deep sea mining on the ocean and surrounding communities?
Yeah, I mean, the impacts are like this huge world of an unknown, but it's really the questions that we're asking ourselves now. How bad are these impacts going to be? How destructive are they going to be? And when are we going to feel the full weight of these impacts? But we know that they're going to be really bad. It's just a question of quite how bad they're going to be. There are a couple of different aspects to it. One is the biodiversity of the deep sea and affecting these ecosystems that really haven't been touched at this scale anywhere else in the world. But also removing the carbon that's been sequestered and stored in the bottom of the deep ocean, and actually reducing the ability of the ocean to store more carbon, which is like reversing all of the hard work that's been done around climate and the climate crisis that we're currently in. So it just seems like the complete opposite of what we should be doing.
And there have been concerns about the lack of transparency in the decision-making process within the ISA. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, if I think back to the most recent meeting of the ISA in Jamaica, our civil society partners and ourselves included in that were actually just like locked in a basement. You know, they were physically present in Jamaica, but they made these excuses for not having civil society in the room to hold the ISA to account. And then they said, oh, we'll put you in this basement with no rooms. We'll give you a Zoom link and you can join that way. And then, like, the link went down within the first few items on the list. And it didn't really go back up for quite a while. And this was called out by civil society as being, like, a full lack of transparency. And then the actual organ who makes these decisions meet completely behind closed doors, even though the ISA itself, the General Assembly, asked them in 2017 to actually hold these meetings out in the open.
Yeah, and last year the New Zealand Foreign Secretary said, I'll just paraphrase, that the negotiation process provides the best means to achieve an outcome, that mining won't take place unless high environmental protection standards are ensured. Is there a way to drill the oceans that won't have an impact on the environment?
Well, we say no. We say no. There's absolutely no way for us to do it, especially with the technology that we have at the moment. They're barely sure if the risers are going to work. That's what pumps the material back up to ships. But, you know, there are so many different aspects that need to have thorough investigation and real transparency around this so that they can be held to account. And we don't think that that can possibly happen, especially within the timeframes that they're giving us.
And what reaction have you seen from people in the Pacific who will be most impacted by this?
Well, yeah, the civil society groups that we engage with and we work with are all outraged. They're really shocked. We were shocked. And it's just come as a huge surprise. You know, we were expecting this to happen in a few months, but the Pacific people that we work with in Tonga have been outraged. Same in the Cook Islands, same in Tuvalu, Palau, Samoa, Fiji. And they're really kind of calling out for help now to say, like, we need to do something. We need to slow this down. We need to stop it. What can we do?
Yeah, and the UN Convention on the Law of the Sea was designed to give better equity to lower income nations. And it kind of seems like the opposite is happening. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that. I think, you know, the intention of UNCLOS was to put all these protections in place. And what we've seen is companies like the Metals Company have come in and have found loopholes and have found ways to get around these issues and use it to their own advantage. And I think that's absolutely despicable.
So what response or initiatives would Greenpeace like to see from world leaders?
Well, at the very least, we need to put the brakes on this whole process. We need to slow it down. We need to have proper, transparent processes in place to allow us to, again, hold these companies and the ISA to account. But ultimately, we want to see deep sea mining banned across the world. There's absolutely no way that it can go ahead, especially with the technology that we have, in a safe manner, in a way that doesn't harm the environment. And we've seen that. New Zealand scrutinised deep sea mining more so than any other nation in the world, I'd say. It's gone through all three of our courts, right to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said that it can't go ahead without causing material harm to the benthic environment. So how are we even considering this? It just seems ridiculous to me.
Do you see impetus among world leaders and politicians for a moratorium on deep sea mining, or do you think that they're going to continue to put money first?
I think that there has been a huge shift in the last year or so, especially with Nauru and the Metals Company triggering the two-year rule. Even proponents of deep sea mining have actually said, well, this is moving a bit quickly. Are we sure this is safe? But what I'm really disappointed in is that our government still hasn't chosen a position and still hasn't said anything about it. And I'm looking forward to see how they vote on the seabed mining prohibition bill later this year.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking, what is the point of New Zealand being a part of all these environmental treaties if either the government isn't being transparent about their position or, worse, we're allowing this to happen?
Exactly. You know, we like to think of ourselves as world leaders with environmental causes, and we have been in the past. You know, the Kirk government sent frigates out to stop nuclear testing in the Pacific, and we've had silence from Jacinda Ardern and her government. So we need them to stand up for us. We've been calling on the government to do this for over a year. Iwi and conservation groups who work on this issue, like Kiwis Against Seabed Mining, have been calling for action, and they're really just sitting on their hands.
That was Greenpeace Aotearoa's seabed mining campaigner James Hetter chatting to me about the International Seabed Authority greenlighting deep sea mining in the Pacific.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.